Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and we are presenting the one and the only pro wrestling interviews. We've got an incredible show tonight, a great guest, and some good hosts. And I'm going to turn it over right now to the host with the most and the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina. Now, that's, I don't know, we'll call him greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina, the one and only, the amazing Velvet. How are you doing tonight, Velvet?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here, and I'm ready to get this started. You can check the computer while I'm talking, Dr. John, see if anybody else is on the line. We have Professor Steve Logan with us tonight. Professor Steve is our guru of Japanese-style wrestling. How are you tonight, Steve?
Doing great. I've been looking forward to this, so it'll be fun.
Yes, I know, and we're going to get right to it. And now we're going to introduce our guest. It's the one and only Blackest Jack. Sir, how are you this evening?
Oh, great, like Frosted Flakes with two spoons. How are y'all doing?
I love it. So,
good simile.
So we're gonna hit this off really quick, and then we'll get back to what we were talking into in the green room. But first, how did you get hooked on wrestling? How old were you when that happened for you?
I was really, really young to where, like, I don't even remember exactly. But I know it's something me and my cousin shared. He died of pancreas cancer in 1997. So he really got me hooked on it, and he couldn't really afford a lot of VHSs, so he recorded over the same one. And he had recorded so much that he tried to record the Starcade pay-per-view, and I never got to watch the main event for that pay-per-view with him. It was in December. He died in March. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awful. So basically you grew up during the Attitude Era is what you're saying, and the war, and the war with WCW, WWE.
I was watching it before the end.
All right.
Like,
so,
I was watching it before WWE was even on TV, you know.
Okay, there you go. That's good. So that got you hooked. What got you into the business, and who trained you and things like that? So what made you decide, hey, I want to try this. I'm going to do this.
I got out the Army, and I was in the medical field going for a degree. And I saw that there was a wrestling school that was coming to Greensboro. And I was like, hell yeah, why not? So I was like, I signed up for it. And it was literally about 5 minutes from where I lived at the time. So I would go there, and it was Firestar Pro Wrestling Academy with LeBron Cozone. Coco, as I like to call him, but
yeah,
it was an experience. And then, you know, I was there for over a year, and then when AML opened up their school, I started going there on a permanent basis.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you've done that so far. So how long since that time, how long have you been in the business now, and do you still love the business?
That was 2016, January 2016, I want to say.
Okay.
I'm indifferent about the business. I love wrestling. I just hate the politics and the...
Right, okay.
The fuckery, to be honest. It's too much extra, too many people not watching your matches and say, oh, slow down, kid. I was going at the Undertaker speed. How much more can I slow down?
Right, exactly. So here's what I, now that you brought that up, it's going to parlay back to what we were talking about. You've only been in, so let's say, basically four and a half years, getting ready to be five. So... You are to me, you sound like you should have been an old school guy and trained old school, and think you would have been, you would have done well, basically, in my era, and Susan's era, things like that, to where you would fit perfectly in, and you wouldn't have to work so hard at trying to talk to people, talk to bookers, talk to promoters, whatever. Okay. So, with that said, there are so many out there today that, you're right, they don't care. And they like a kid. You know why they like that kid? Because that kid feeds them money to their promotion. And you don't. That's one aspect of it that I hate. You know, oh, let me give you money. I'll buy a spot on the show. Well, he's complete garbage. Why is he on your show? You know, I hate that. That drives me bananas. So I have a tag team. I don't know if you who know who the Black Society is, but they're pretty good. Lazarus Black and Ryan Manis. They're pretty good guys. And I know I've known Lazarus since he's been about 4 or 5 years old. And I've tagged with his father, and I got to tag with him about 6 years ago before I got sick. So anyway, what I'm getting at is I tell people, I took them to the side and I said, let me tell you something. The guys you're getting ready to work are absolutely horrible. I said, nobody cares about your moveset. What they're looking for is you can take these guys and make them look like $1 million, that you can carry the match. You can call the match. You can lead the match. Whatever you want to say, that's what they're looking at. Because these guys are absolutely horrible. But, you know, you're going to wrestle guys who are on the same level as you and some people who are way higher than you. You have to adapt and adjust to that. And people are watching that. They don't care how many super kicks you have, how many dives you have. You got to have 30 moves. Nobody cares. And that's what they think everybody cares about. Well, they absolutely do not. I guarantee you, I don't. I want to see what you can do and how you handle yourself and how you put on a show and how you're either the best heel going or the best babyface going. That's what I want to see. So,
you know, it's real funny, Velvet. You said something. You said you don't care if we have 30 moves or not. All I got to say is Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton could do an hour with an overhead wrist lock, and they could bring the house down, couldn't they?
Well, yeah, back in the day, yeah. And see, that's what people don't understand today. That's why it's so political. Well, my buddy, yeah, your buddy's not that good. Trust me. I booked some of those guys. Yeah, come to my promotion. Nope. It was a one and done. So, I'm sure you've seen a lot of that, Black Just Jack, and I'm sure you can appreciate that, you know, like you said, political is not your game, and it shouldn't be your game. You should be able to walk into a promotion and show
Velvet,
them.
I got to interrupt you. The maestro is on.
Oh, the maestro from WCW, Papa Stro.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Great to be here on the show.
Hey.
Blast is Jack, man. I just wanted to call to show you some love, man. Good to see you on here, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So we were talking with him, and he was talking a little bit about how he got in the business, how he, you know, when he first started it. So recently you went to Virginia for UEW. How was that experience at UEW?
It was amazing, to be honest. It's like, you know, once you are so comfortable with who you are and you know who you are and you have I don't even call it a character. You're so comfortable with yourself, you know, because no situation in the ring can you put me in where I'm going to be uncomfortable. There's nothing you could do
to
make me uncomfortable in the ring because
I
know myself. Like, there's nothing you could do to me to make me uncomfortable in the ring, you know.
That sounds like
I'm just
a challenge
one of those
for
guys.
Velvet. That sounds like a challenge for Velvet.
Now,
If I don't make you, hey, listen, if I don't get you, I'd at least make you break character. I guarantee you that.
No, you would.
You ain't kidding either, Blackness. You ain't kidding, bro.
No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't.
Okay.
Look at you.
Not
name.
Even close.
You ever been kissed by a male wrestler? It's coming.
I'd kiss your ass back. They ain't gonna make me break character. I'd probably start
to
humping
pull out
you
all
and
my
probably
tricks.
Grab your hand. You gonna have to because
all right.
All right.
Listen, I'll be standing there going, hey.
The show must go on, right? The show
Listen,
must go on.
Hey, but like, I'll see it right. I'll say, hey, we got to hurry up in this match. I got something to do.
That would not make me break character. I would just do me.
Man.
Dude, I performed at a gay bar. Trust me. There is.
Oh, no. I've had fun. I've done it for a long time, being that wrestler,
right.
Being that persona for a long time. I love it. It's fun. It's fun, man. You know. Oh, I've made
you know who Michael
Judas is? He was on Impact.
Uh-uh.
He used to wrestle what's the big 7-footer? Logan Creed. They used to have a feud. So he came down and wrestled at my show and wrestled LA Tank, and I was managing LA Tank. I popped him on the butt real hard. And blew a kiss at him and this man. He's like, okay. And then a couple rounds later, I grabbed him and I palmed his behind and I turned him around and he started laughing. He goes, you got me. He was the same way. He was like, I'm good. You're not going to make it happen. I said, I'll make it happen at some point.
Brother, that's not.
But it was funny.
If you palm my ass, I'm literally going to dial home. I'm literally just going to look at you and be like, that's all you got?
Right?
Like,
that's
I'll probably
fun,
start
though.
Working on you, so.
Oh, Lord, I love this guy. When can we book him?
But,
you're going to work him. Go ahead.
No, you know, that is one thing that kind of pisses me about, like, the old school and the new school thing. It's like.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
My phone
He's went
out.
Shit. Pondering. Oh, maybe you dropped his phone.
Hello?
Look at your game.
What'd you do, Velvet? What'd you do?
That's so weird. It literally said my phone hung up, and then I'm like, hello?
Right? Okay. So you're saying the new school and the old school?
It's like to be honest, if you really dive into it, right? I read an article about I think it was Lou Thesz, and he was talking about the new kid that's doing all this high flying stuff and all this dumb stuff that he shouldn't be doing. And you know who he was talking about?
Mm-mm.
He was talking about Harley Race.
Yeah, well,
so it's like the last generation already hate this generation. It's like okay, it's like it's a cycle.
I don't
like
hate
it's
it.
Like
I don't hate it. I just some of the stuff is dumb though. How many super kicks
yeah,
can
oh,
he do in a match?
It's dumb as hell. It is. It's dumb, I would say it is
preach,
dumb
brother.
As hell. And the thing is, but that's what entertains them. It gets them over. You know. Like, I think it's dumb as hell, trust me. I'd rather watch Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair going out than watch Brock Lesnar and Goldberg work at a doggone old folks in molasses trying to make love one last time.
That's funny. I love
that's
this guy, man.
It's
oh,
like,
yeah,
it's like
Velvet,
I don't like five-minute
Velvet.
Matches.
No, I don't either.
Velvet, it's Dr. John. I think Sinister is on the line.
Oh, no, Sinister.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, there's my guy, Sinister.
The deepest voice on radio.
Him and Big Game Jane. Put the two of them together, we'd be lost.
There's our baritone choir right
that's
there.
Our baritone, right, exactly.
Quartet.
So
yes,
I got a question. Since you've been working... Name a couple people that you like to work and you've had a good time working with. things like that out of here.
Was Jason Kincaid one of those people that you enjoyed working with most?
I enjoy working with – there's nobody I have wrestled that I didn't enjoy working with, you know?
Okay.
Literally, like, anytime I'm in the ring, I enjoy it, even if things – I actually enjoy when things don't go to plan, because then we could be creative and be like, oh, how do we fix this, you know?
Right.
Talents. Like, it's like a puzzle piece to me. I enjoyed Jason Kincaid. I learned a lot, even though I'm embarrassed of the match because, like, I just did some pointless stuff in that match. It's like, you know, I was doing some stuff that made no sense. And I'm just like, I look back and I'm like, why in the hell did I do that? Oh, well, growing pains, whatever.
Man. Right. It happens. Listen, you're not going to be spot on every time. Trust me.
I recently had a match a few months ago with Barbarian.
Oh, and I love him to death. He's great. Oh, Barbarian's awesome.
Awesome.
He told me whoever trained me did a great job.
Good. And listen, you better take that and run, buddy, because he don't say that a lot to people. He does not say that a lot to people at all.
Yeah, and the thing is, He it's funny because he was like, I looked up and you was up in the air, and I was like, oh my God, when is he coming down? He did a T-bone on me, and literally I flew across the ring, and doggone, I was trying to make sure that I didn't land on him, and I wound up hitting my ankle on the bottom rope. I said, son of a bitch.
Hey, brother, I've been there, trust me. I've been there.
Yeah.
My big 291-pound ass flying through the air.
Yeah, but he's bigger than you, though.
Yeah.
The only thing, I'm 5 foot three, and he only told me, hey, brother, I'm going to throw that boot. Protect yourself, brother. It'll be all right. He's going to throw that boot, though. He's going to throw it now. Jesus.
Oh, hell yeah, he is. But thank God I'm used to getting the ass whooping.
Yeah, right? That's funny.
You know,
well, that's good to see you have such a great attitude. Go ahead, Dr. John.
I wanted to say, Lycus, thanks for mentioning Barbarian, because I had the pleasure of meeting Barbarian. I went to see Papa Stroh at a wrestling event up in Kinston, North Carolina. Papa Stroh, you remember that evening? You talked about back in the sticks. And I met Barbarian. We had breakfast at Waffle House, and that was the most fun. I mean, you and he had the classic match. I know you remember that match, don't you?
One of many matches I've had with him, yeah. I mean, it's always a pleasure being there with Barbarian. I mean, he's good people.
Oh, yeah. You can't say nothing bad about him, because if you do, he's going to kick your ass.
And playing basketball with him and Haku is even worse, trust me.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I bet. I'm good. I'm too short for that. I stay outside. Oh, man. So we're having fun with Blackness Jack. You know, you said something earlier that made me chuckle a little bit while you were talking, because it's like – JR sometimes gets kind of mad on AEW talking about – I remember one time he said, oh, yeah, that looks believable. And they were like – I know they were going to like be like, what are you saying? He goes, yeah, I'm going to throw everybody out the ring and everybody's going to stand around to wait to catch your dumbass coming off the top rope. I love it. He said that on national television. I'm like, holy crap. But – like you said, make it believable, make it look good, you know. Like you said, you did some dumb stuff, right? That you say, why did I do that? I've done some dumb stuff that people thought was great, and I'm like, that was awful.
and that's funny because, like, you know, Dr. Tom is one of the people I really look up to. And, like, I was talking to him this week, and he said, what makes people want to book you? He was like, what are you doing wrong and what are you doing right? You know, like, describe your character to me. If you don't know what your character is or your gimmick is, He's like, how are they supposed to know?
Exactly. Well, very well. And you know what? Half these kids don't even know what their gimmick is because they're too busy trying to wrap around 45 moves in a match in 12 minutes. It's like, dude, really?
I got a follow-up.
Go ahead, Steve.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
If you had to your ass, like, could you describe Black as Jack in a sentence?
The way I would describe Black as Jack in a sentence is Freddy versus Jason.
Nice. Love it.
Yes, absolutely.
And for the ones that, you know, and the way he told he was like, he actually told me, he said, everybody hasn't seen Freddy versus Jason, so I'm still trying to figure out another way to describe it. I'm the wrestler
right.
that's not afraid to do, like, the stuff that other wrestlers are afraid to do, you know?
Right.
I'm not
And
right.
I love your attitude. I love your attitude, and, you know, that's good to hear nowadays, you know?
It's like I went to the show one time, and this guy told me, he was like, hey, it was just a little charity show. So the guy was like, hey, I was like, hey, who you want to go over? He was like, y'all pick. And my opponent wasn't with me. And so when I got back to my opponent, I said, hey, they said you going over. If you got to win
money,
every match to go over, then I don't know what to say.
I can tell you right now, I lost 95% of my matches between single and tag team, and I still came out smelling like a rose. So, you know what? I'm an overseller, too. So, if you hit me, I'm going down like a sack of potatoes.
I had to stop doing that because at 5'9", 300 pounds, people are just looking at me
like,
That's why I love going against people bigger than me.
Oh, I do, too. I love the bigger guys.
Like, I love going
God.
To get somebody that's bigger than me. I started selling like Kurt Hennig back in the day.
Right? Exactly,
bouncing
man.
You bounce my head off the top turnbuckle, I'm flying in the middle of the ring.
I love it. Oh, that's great. You had to go check out some L.A. Tanks matches with Papa Stro.
Mm-hmm.
And those are good. Those are hard hitting. Those are pretty good. And a lot of them, I mean, they all made sense. Every one of them made sense. It's not like they went out there and said, okay, we're going to just do whatever. You know, they don't even have to talk in the back. They can go out there, the bell can ring, and they can go. And that's what I like about that. There's not a lot of people who can do that. And, you know, you know, it's a different time period. You know, today can't – some of the guys today can't do that. You know? What do you mean call it in the ring?
Hey,
we're just going to call it in the ring. Go ahead.
That's fine.
I was
going to
ask.
Or if I do call it in the back, I wait till the music starts. I'll be like, yo, you know anything we just talked about? Yeah, we ain't doing none of that shit. Bye.
No.
Yes.
That's funny. That's a – That's great. Go ahead, Steve.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, how is it working with no shoes? Because it's been done before multiple times, but Matt Riddle does it now, but it's like it's got to be uncomfortable somewhat, but you probably like being uncomfortable.
Kind of wait. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the beginning of it.
Yeah, working without shoes. Thoughts on working without shoes.
I've done it for so long, I don't even think about it. I actually I used to have boots that I bought from George South,
mm-hmm.
and I stopped wearing them because I was just like, I literally go to wrestling shows without any shoes or anything. And yeah, I started thinking like, why am I wearing shoes if I hate them? So literally, the only shoes I have is work shoes. And I have, like, two pairs of brand-new shoes I've never worn. I've had them for, like, a year or so.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, you know. I was the same way as a kid. So, yeah. So, Steve, you got anything else?
Oh, yeah.
I knew you did.
Yeah. What's your inspiration for your Facebook post? Because you're very verbally expressive, and it really catches your attention, those Facebook posts.
Just my weird random thought process. Just literally just
I
like
think we all have that.
Like literally I'll be thinking something like, you know what, that'll be interesting. Let's see who I can piss off today. It's like, yeah, let's see. You know, it's like, and apparently Facebook never pays attention unless it's a meme, so I've never been in Facebook jail.
I haven't either. I should.
They tried to. Somebody tried to get report my name, and I told Facebook, I was like, look, this is the name on my dog's own bank account, so you can go all the way to hell with it. Literally, it's the name on my bank card. Like my bank card name says Blackfish Jack.
Like, there you go.
My gym membership says Blackfish Jack. So. Yeah.
I
if
love
they don't
it.
Do a background check,
it.
Then I'm dead. Then Blackfish Jack is on the name.
I love it. That's so good. So let me ask you if you believe this is true or not, because I ask this of everybody who comes on the show. Do you know and believe that we as professional wrestlers are not all wired the same as everybody else in the world? Yes, no.
I would say yes. I would say yes.
Absolutely.
I think
it's been a big discussion on here before.
Well, you got to think, like, so honestly, being in going from the military to the medical field to now being involved in wrestling, it's literally all the same bullshit, just a different uniform.
Right.
You know, like,
but it also opens your eyes too. And
yeah, I mean, it's like when I was in the military, it was all politics. You know, they had a certain standard for officers and senior NCOs, and it's like, you know, there was a guy, literally every step of the way, there was always somebody who would defend their friends no matter how messed up they were. You know, and I'm just like, okay, you're defending this guy, he's an idiot. You're really riding for this guy, he just, like, drugged the girl, like, days ago.
No,
I don't want to be your friend. So if that's your standard of friendship, then no, thank you. I'll be good. But, like, it's all the same thing. It's politics. It's just bullshit at different levels, you know. Like, how much bullshit can you deal with? Me, myself, and I'm taking a break in January or February.
I hear you. I don't blame you. Everybody needs to take breaks. We all have. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I really wanted to quit in December. I was going to, like, go on Facebook Live and just burn all my stuff and just be like, fuck you guys, goodbye, and delete my page.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. You have such a great attitude, man. Wrestling needs you right now. I'm telling you, attitude.
But that's the thing, though. It's like, yes, wrestling may need my attitude, but it's like at the same time, it's like the same people that tell me no, they'll book somebody that's less talented because of, his friend is in this position and he called in a favor. And it's like, I'm not going to use somebody's name. Like, I've never – I work for one of the biggest companies in North Carolina, and I've never used nobody's name to get a booking. You know,
there you go.
Like,
and we
never.
I don't book like that either.
Oh, man. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Exactly. Go ahead.
Are you – sorry if you don't know the term, but are you blackpilled? Is it like –
what?
Are you blackpilled? Is that like – is, I guess the term would be like life is unfair mentality.
No. It's
no,
just
I could say I could have told you that now. No, yeah. Go ahead.
I think that my issue is that I'm not one of those guys that you could put in a box. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I wish you could. You can't say that. Oh, he doesn't work hard. Everywhere I go, 9 times out of 10, I help set up a tear down, except in Pennsylvania. And that's only because, you know, I'm 7 hours away, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, like, I would love to help, but it's like, you know, that's just like getting back home at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning after driving for 14 hours is like, okay, you know? But I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm not a glass half full, glass half empty type of guy. I'm more like, okay, what's in the glass for me to drink?
Right.
Yeah, it's funny.
Very
funny
good.
You say that because I had a binary question for you because wrestling seems to be binary, and I've heard the phrase hammer and the nail, but like I was doing yard work and I saw a squirrel get hit by a car, and I'm like, just thinking that was like another hammer and the nail moment. Do you view life like that, hammer in the nail, squirrel in the car, or like you said, you're not half glass, you know, not half full, half empty type of guy. Is there any thoughts on that? Sorry, that was a tangent.
I take things as they are. For example, I've had people that some of the most racist people I've met in my life, me more than some of the people that look like me. So I take life as it is, because it's like, this person don't like you. Okay, that's fine. We still got to do a job together. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's my attitude. I don't have, I don't think so deeply about certain things, you know? Like, when it comes to my poetry and stuff, you know, most times I never reread my own poetry. I'll just write it, and then I'll find it months later. Be like, hey, that's cool. I should post that, you know? Like,
right.
And that's where I'm really going with, my last few posts on my business page or my gimmick page have been my poetry. Because I really want to, there's more to me. There's so many things I'm good at other than just wrestling, you know?
Right.
Like, there's not a box in wrestling that you can't check off for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done music and done video editing and been a sponsor, and, you know, I know how to set up a ring and tear down and do all this stuff, you know? So there's not a box you can't – I bought tickets. If I'm not booked on a wrestling show and I go there, I'm buying a ticket.
Right.
I bought a ticket just
Absolutely.
To sit outside at a wrestling show. And I knew the person. I was just like, hey, might as well support the business.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I'm the same
It's
way
like, I
that.
Swear, the good ones get overlooked, and the trash baggers, they get all the attention. I swear.
You're pretty much,
that's just
you're right.
This is like, everybody been talking about Jess Barnes. And my thing is just like, when are we going to start talking about something that's worth talking about? It's like, in wrestling, we spend so much time talking about bullshit, promoting bullshit.
Yep.
It's like,
let's.
I guarantee you, I can name at least 5 or 10 people that's done trashed her, but ain't shared the flyer for their next show.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you trashing somebody that you ain't never met just to be part of the little internet community, and you ain't shared your flyer to your next show, then you're probably fucked up, sir, ma'am, whatever. Like, you worried about somebody you ain't never met. But you're not sharing any of the information to get yourself over with this company. I've offered to come all the way to Florida to go to a show to help out and possibly get a match, and I was told that I was whoring myself out.
What?
So a lot of these promoters that are young, the younger ones, they're messing up the business just as much as people feel like the young bucks are. Because when somebody try to pay their dues and you tell them no, that's a whole different level of, okay, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. Man, I tell you what.
But, you know, it is what it is. I stay in my lane and I mind my business, you know what I'm saying? That's the main thing. My philosophy since New Year's Day 2019 is to mind my own damn business.
And that's the best way to be, actually.
If I can do that, I'll be golden. Because all this other stuff that be going on ain't worth my time and attention.
No, it ain't worth to get involved and sucked into somebody else's garbage that you're going to be mad at yourself later down the road that you got sucked into it. So,
and that's just like,
it's not worth it.
If you can look on my page and find the last time I said anything about WWE or AEW, critiquing a match or critiquing the show, it's been some years because I don't watch it, so why would I talk about them? You know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly, I get it. You know, and you know what? First of all, that's happened recently in Georgia where promotions have been fighting each other. And if you're not competition, why are you telling people that to not go work for that person after they've already been booked? And now they're going to no-show that thing. So they lost money. So if I had told you, hey, don't go work for Papa Stro at his company, he's garbage, you know, he's going to put you in a bad situation, it's just overall bad. And you don't know that, and you take my word for it, right? Mm-hmm. You know what you should say to me? You know what you should say to me? Well, since I'm going to no-show this guy, are you going to pay my booking fee for not going there?
Exactly.
Right.
These kids don't get that. These kids don't get it. I'm like, you should have asked that person, since you didn't know any better, you should have asked that person, hey, since I'm going to bail on this show, you need to pay my booking fee since you gave me the heads up. And when they say
and,
no,
and
say, then,
worry,
but I'm going
to
go.
I won't promote. I'll just leave it to professionals. So, no worries.
Stupid. I love you, man. You made me laugh. Oh, my God. But, you know, but that happens. Like at my show, Stro's on my show a lot. Where right now, he's still my champion. But he heard it, too. And because I don't – everybody to me is the same. We all working. We're all having a good time. I'm not trying to talk about anybody else. I want workers to keep working. I want Indy to stay alive. You know, there are good promoters, bad promoters, good bookers and bad bookers everywhere you go in this country. So as long as people are working and making a paycheck and still doing and trying to learn their skill and their set, I'm happy and I'm all for it. But I always tell people, like, say you came to work for me, okay? I'd say, listen, man, thank you for being here. But I tell this to all new people who walk in the door. I don't care about where you wrestled last night. I don't care if it was a cluster. I don't want to hear about you talking about some wrestler or some promotion. You working right now for my company. It should be all about this show and what you're going to do on this show. And that's all I tell people. And I said, that's it, you know. Because that way it cuts all the bull out, you know. And then I've had people, and Stro will tell you, we had an issue. I fired a referee halfway through a show. So it's just, you got to do what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I booked you, you came, you'd see how it's laid back in our locker room. Everything's cool. The show goes on. I do an old school show. I do five matches. Show's right about 2 hours long. I don't have 9 matches. I don't have 10 matches. You can't keep people's attention that long. So,
hell no. No matter what you're doing.
So, and I tell people, I'm not on TV. I'm not trying to compete with anybody. I'm an indie show. Let's get real about it.
Bro,
but,
that's what a lot of people
yeah.
forget. A lot of people forget that, like, even high-level indie companies, you're still an indie company, and there's no contracts involved. You know
nope.
what I'm saying? There's no contracts involved.
No,
they
it's a yes or a no.
Right. It's a yes
yeah.
or a no. Let's, I don't know. It,
yeah. If I go to, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to get into a morbid question. I saw a promo you posted on YouTube, and it really caught my attention. And I didn't know if this was just for intimidation, but you mentioned Ed Gein and Charles Manson being people you looked up to, or instead of Michael Jordan and other basketball players. Is there any truth in that? Because you're a very believable guy.
That's because I really do believe 90% of it. My thing is that, okay, those guys were true to who they were, you know, and a lot of these so-called celebrities that people look up to, they're fake. They get enhancements because they don't like their body. They divorce their wife to marry some superstar slut. They cheat on their wife. They have marriages and children outside of it, and they just overall live a trash-ass life. I respect people that live in their truth, no matter how horrible it is. I respect the Iceman more than I do Michael Jordan, because he lived in his truth. The same person that gave Stone Cold Steve Austin, that's where Stone Cold got his name from.
Yeah, Richard.
You know, like, it's not... I don't like people that don't live in their truth and their honesty, you know? Like, there are plenty of people
exactly.
that just, like... Here's my thing also, right? It is not my job to tell you who you are as a person or if you're a trash person. You already know you're a trash person. So me telling you that ain't going to do nothing for you. There are plenty of people I've met in wrestling. I'm just like, dude, if you were on fire... I would literally throw you in a whole ocean full of gasoline. just trash.
I love this guy.
You know, people say what they want.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, those people made something out of a situation, you know. And they're serial killers. They're terrible people. Okay, yeah, they're terrible people. But they're living in their truth. I respect it. I respect what they did. I start the concept.
Right. But that's,
oh, yeah.
that's real
yeah.
talk. That's real talk. That's real talk. So, yeah, I agree
I feel
with
like,
that. That's real talk.
I feel like Robert Downey Jr. and Natural Born Killers, like I would just take your lead and bust out of prison.
Well, I mean, I'm all about people living their truth. That's why, no offense, and I don't mean to, I'm not getting political. I'm just saying this one little thing.
No.
I am so tired of these celebrities coming out as gay. I'm sorry, but in at least where I'm from in the black community, there was a gay person on every street and we didn't pay attention to them. You know, I didn't pay attention to the straight
exactly.
people. Exactly. I don't care. Here's the thing. If you're my plumber, right, and you're supposed to be fixing my toilet, right? I don't give a damn if you're gay. I don't give a damn if you're straight.
Nope.
I give a damn if you fix my toilet
fix
and
the toilet.
Start spitting shit out the wrong way. People focus so much on stuff that do not matter. It's like that's just like a old dude coming out as the first gay black basketball player. He was not the first gay basketball player because he wasn't playing basketball.
Nope.
Dude averaged 0.3 points a game. How you don't average a whole point a game?
Right, exactly. How you get a point
what,
three?
Did he miss a three-pointer every game? 0.3?
That's funny.
He's the
yeah,
first
but
bench
he wasn't
player.
The first.
Go find it.
that's just weird to me. It's like, yo, like, I'm sorry, I grew up with gay people. It's like y'all make gay, they make gay people that age sound like unicorns. And it's weird to me.
Exactly. It is. You're
like,
right.
Put them on a pedestal.
It's like back in the day when they desegregated schools. Oh, you're a Negro. Hey. It's like, yeah, hi. I've been there for 15 years.
You didn't
years.
Figure
nice
that out?
You.
Right, exactly. You didn't. You just now figured that out?
Right. It's, I don't know. It's like, stuff is
my
just,
best friend.
Stuff is just weird to me.
Well, yeah. It's like we didn't care. My best friend was gay. And everybody goes, you know he's gay? And I went, no, really? And, like, best friend in the whole world. He's dead now. He died because he was HIV positive and got full-blown AIDS. But best friend in the world. We went to high school together. We did everything together. We hung out. And they're like, but you're not gay. You have a girlfriend. I said, what's that got to do with anything? He's my best friend. That doesn't change anything. I said, we've been friends since we've been 10 years old. I hate people that do that, too. It's just stupid.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I guarantee you, just like I predicted this whole revolution was going to come in about 5 to 10 years, it's going to flip again. Or actually, it's about ready to flip now because you already see people getting tired of it, you know. Like, nowadays, everybody, I don't know, it's weird to me anyway. Back to wrestling.
It's all weird.
Yeah.
Hey,
weird.
Let's get
it's
back
weird.
To wrestling.
Yeah,
life is weird anyway,
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
we don't need to make
it
any weirder.
It is very...
Can you...
we don't need to make it worse.
Can you talk...
Go ahead, Steve.
Can you talk about the Freak Show tag team or a faction you're in? I saw your manager was introducing you in a certain video. Can you talk about Freak Show and your manager, because I'm not familiar, and they look like a interesting package.
That's my family. I love those guys. I absolutely love those guys. They I actually was supposed to come up there before the pandemic, and I did go up there like once or twice before the pandemic. But after everything got shut down, I was kind of scared because I was like, oh, my God, they're not going to let me back up there. And they were like, yeah, you can come back. We loved your stuff. They loved what I did. So I was like, wow, okay. So I love being up there. Their family, like, they treat me amazingly.
Awesome. Good to hear. I like that. That's good. I hate the horror stories. I like the things that people say, yeah, go work for them. I love them, all that. And hang out with these people. I love that part. You know, there's so much negativity in the business. I love the positivity that comes out. And you exude that, dude. You really do exude that. And I love that about you. You know, we got to get you.
Don't even make it hard.
What's that?
I try my best, but some people make it hard.
Well, of course people make it hard because they're idiots. And they don't know any better. You know, if they, like if they see you and they see you against, let's say, Riddle. Let's just use Riddle as an example. And they see you and you're going to wrestle Riddle. They're going to be – and you do a really good job, but you lose. And they say, well, you know, you were okay. And they're like, well, nobody wants to hear all that. You know, why would we do that? You did your job. You worked great match. You didn't win, but thank you. You know, that's what it should be about. Instead of, oh, I gotta trash this dude, or I gotta, you know, well, don't book him again. I'm tired
well,
of all that
like,
mess, man.
This is like when first time ever gave me my first big match ever this year. And there was literally people hitting the booking promoter up telling them that they could have a better match with Myron Reed than me. And I was like, It was so hurtful because I was like, dude, for 5 years, I've always been the dependable guy to help set up, tear down, just working my way up. And I finally got a big match, and I'm like, dude, that's crazy. Like, people just really love shitting on me. And I was like, wow, that's crazy.
You know why?
You know,
people are jealous of you. I got people were jealous of other people that I've had on my show. They said, "Why do you work that guy?" I said, "Because the guy's good, and he doesn't care win, lose, draw. It doesn't matter. He's going to come in and do his job, be professional, you know, and have a good match, regardless." And you sound like the same thing, type people that I like to book. You come in, you do your job, you go. You come back when you get booked again, you know? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go everywhere you can. You know, I tell people now, the youngins, I said, you go to everywhere you can get booked, and you create a library of yourself. You want as many matches as you can record, because that's what people are going to ask you for one day. Send me some matches. At least you'll have them. You'll have a library. You know, get a library together. You know, and work everywhere. You need to learn how to work all kind of different people, all kind of different styles. And, you know, I've seen some of your stuff. I haven't seen a lot of it, but I'm gonna dig deeper into that. Because in 2022, whether you take a break or not, whenever you're ready to come back, I'm definitely booking you down in South Carolina, because you need to be here. Because that's the attitude that I like.
I'm definitely getting my South Carolina license.
Good, because I can get, like, have you heard of Antonio Morgan?
Mm-mm.
Antonio Morgan has only been in the business a year, but he's got all the intangibles. He's got good size. He's got a great look. Got his gear is on point. He's had a few matches at Impact, and he's working Impact Plus like every other week right now. It's not official, but he's just working some matches. But he's learning, and he's getting better every time. I have yet to see him have a bad match since I've watched it. I've been to shows. I've been commentating shows he's been on, and I've watched him 6 times now, and he's getting better and better every time. That's somebody I'd like to see you in the ring with. You know, that would be awesome. Be awesome. So, yeah, well, yeah, if you get it in 2022, dude, hit me up. I'll get you booked all over South Carolina.
That would be great.
You deserve it because you have the right attitude.
Well,
you don't get involved in all everybody else's crap. Mm-hmm.
I've had a Virginia license for a little bit now, and literally I've been hit up every Virginia company I can find.
So that's what you're supposed to. You need to get it. I will get you in touch with L.A. Tank. L.A. Tank knows a lot of the players up there like Steve does, but L.A. Mm-hmm. Tank knows a few more. And, yeah, man, that's who you need to hook up with. And in North Carolina, I'm sure Papa Stro here can tell you some of the ones in North Carolina, you know, that you haven't worked at yet, you know. So that would, you know, give it a good run, man, you know. Never know what might happen. Give it a really good run. And go different places, though, you know. Get you a nice library set up.
Absolutely.
Oh,
go for it.
You know, you're still only been in the business coming up on 5 years. Yeah, man, it's time to have that big hard push. You know, and whatever happens, happens. Something happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, that's, you know, it's meant to be. That's how I look at it. I wrestled for 29 years. So, yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. You know, I've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of ups and downs, you know. I'm medically unable to wrestle because of battling cancer. Other than that, I mean, my blood still boils. I want to get back in the ring. I'm going to do it at some point. Don't know when, but it's going to happen. Even though I am 54 years old, but I can still go. Trust me, I can still go. So that's not going to stop me. But I'm also not going to be the guy that's going to hang on forever either. I know my limitations, and I know what I would like to do and not do. You know, not get hurt. But, you know, if it happens, if I get hurt, I get hurt, you know, whoopee-doo. I'd rather be doing that than just sitting around, you know, doing nothing. So all right. We're going to pass it around. It's that bewitching time frame. The show's only an hour. Blackness Jack, give me something that you would like to promote, push, where are you going to be, push your social media, you know, all that. What do you got to plug?
I have quite a few shows coming up. I will be actually posting. I'm going to make it a thing, like, every Wednesday. I'm going to post, like, the shows I'm going to be at or whatever. And, you know, it's checking me out. I'm going to UEW in Richmond. I'm going back to West Virginia. Working on my South Carolina license. I'm going to be in Imperial this Saturday. Super excited about that.
Cool.
Working on some Texas shows, some Florida shows.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Going to be back in Pennsylvania. WrestleCade is I'm actually bringing – I'm a vendor and bringing some people in. Some of my guests are Ted DiBiase, IRS, Eric Rowan, Virgil, and The Godfather. So
nice.
Please support. Pictures.
Absolutely.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun times.
You got
good,
any merch
good.
Yet?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. I actually have a website. I keep forgetting. I have a Blackness Jack website. Yeah, I have a website. BlacknessJack.com.
Nice.
BlacknessJack.com. Because some people spell it.
Cool.
BLACK or BLA, I don't know. They just come up with new ways to mess up the word black. So. But it's BLACQTUS.
And we can also find you on Facebook, right? Instagram,
Facebook,
Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter, at Blackness, capital T.
Cool.
Capital B, capital
See?
T.
Awesome. That's great. Professor Steve, give us a shout and a plug.
Yeah, thanks for having me on Pro Wrestling Interviews. You can find me at Stellar Steven on most socials. Thanks for coming on, Blackness. Looking forward to Pro Wrestling Interviews next week when the guest drops for that. Looking forward to UEW in September. I'll probably be there, so thanks.
Cool. Papa Stroh, drop us a hit.
All right. This Tuesday, I'll be a part of the panel with Brady Hicks for In the Room, Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. This Thursday night, I'm hosting WCW Retro again this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and on VOCNation.com. We'll be discussing wrestling bloopers of the year. So if you got any cool memories of any wrestling bloopers, please call in. It should be a lot of fun. And then Friday night on my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. The feature for Friday night will be War of the Satellites from the 50s, so please tune in. And thank you, Galactus. You're awesome. Love you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, he is cool. And we got Sinister.
Yes, he is.
Sinister, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
The quiet one. That's the one you got to watch out for. You got anything coming
That's
up,
right.
sir?
You
got anything coming up?
This Friday at the Richmond County Fairground. We have a show coming up, Bad Boys of Wrestling, and I'll be taking on the Russian Cannibal.
Whoa, all right, cool. That's this Friday. Cool, man.
Yeah,
make sure you put a post up about that, man, so we can see, so we can share that.
Absolutely.
And Dr. John, I guess it's time
to
take it home.
It's time to take it home. It's been a great show. Pro Wrestling Interviews. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for the greatest independent wrestling show on the Internet, the Pro Wrestling Interviews. Papa Stroh, thanks for being here. Sinister, thanks for being here. And Blackest Jack, you were great. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, of course, the amazing Velvet. Take care. We'll see everybody next week.
All right. Good night, everybody.